Dr. William Luther Pierce on Slime at the Top, 1997.
Hello. I've been looking at the results of last week's parliamentary elections in Britain, and I guess they're gratifying in a way. They prove that British voters are just as stupid as American voters. I had thought that choosing Bill Clinton twice in a row gave Americans some sort of world record for stupidity. But now I can see that the Britons are no brighter than we are. They've chosen as their new Prime Minister Tony Blair, a man who bears so many resemblances to Bill Clinton that it is uncanny. Blair, like Clinton, is a crooked lawyer with a sly smile who looks like he would be more at home hawking his wares on a used car lot than making policy for what used to be a truly great white nation. Like Clinton, he's the sort of fellow who can look you right in the eye and with an expression of the utmost sincerity tell you any kind of whopper that suits his purpose. And like Clinton, he is married to a hard-as-nails female lawyer. Like Clinton, Blair heads the leftist, pro-welfare, pro-spending, pro-big government faction in his country. Like Clinton, he is the choice of the non-white minorities and of the really sappy element among the women. And like Clinton, he was elected with substantially less than a majority of the vote. But the really scary part of the similarity between Blair and Clinton is the ties which both men have to organized Jewish power. It is fair to say that both men, more than any other U.S. president or British prime minister in recent history, are surrounded by Jews, have had their careers guided by Jews, and have appointed Jews to high government posts in unprecedented numbers. They are both creatures of the Jews. They are both utterly, and I mean utterly, unprincipled men who serve at the pleasure of the Jewish minority in their country and serve as instruments of the Jewish minority. Blair, like Clinton, is the darling of the controlled media. But despite this, there are a few elements of the media in Britain which are not Blair boosters. One of these, the London Sunday Times, ran an expose of Blair's secret financial backers a few months ago. More than that, the Times identified each of the wealthy men involved as a leading member of Britain's small but very powerful Jewish community. Between them, they had donated more than £500,000 to Blair, not to his election campaign, but to support his private wheeling and dealing, what the British call Blair's private office. Blair's response to this expose has been to propose legislation which would make it illegal for a newspaper to provide such ethnic identifications. It would be considered group libel to identify as Jewish any malefactor or person involved in shady or illegal activities. Blair also has proposed legislation to make it illegal to express publicly any doubt about the so-called Holocaust, and he is a great advocate of more laws against what the Jews call hate crimes and of stiffer penalties for hate criminals. How can men like Blair and Clinton be elected to high public office in countries like Britain and the United States? What has happened to us that we tolerate this? Now, please don't think that I'm calling for a return to the Conservative Party in Britain or for a Republican president in the United States. The Conservative Party in Britain is riddled with corruption and treason, as is the Republican Party in the United States. The Jews may be a little less numerous and a little less obvious among the conservatives and the Republicans than they are in the Labor Party and among the Democrats, but they're still there. The reason that the Jews prefer a man like Blair or Clinton as opposed to a conservative or a Republican is that men like Blair and Clinton are wholly dependent on them, whereas there's more of an old boy network among the conservatives and the Republicans. There's more Gentile money for the conservatives or the Republicans to fall back on. Men like Blair and Clinton, on the other hand, whose votes come much more from the urban rabble, from the welfare class, are much more heavily dependent on Jewish money for their campaigns. They cannot declare their independence from the Jews. Not that there's a very big chance of the Republicans or the conservatives trying that. Corruption and treason have riddled the whole system of mass democracy in the television age. It's not just the individual slime balls like Blair and Clinton who are the problem. It is the system itself. It is the system of television-mediated electoral politics. Even if television and the other mass media were in the hands of decent people, even if they were in the hands of racially conscious white men, democracy still would be a sham because the people who control the media would still control the electoral process. We've just come too far from the days of ancient Athens, where candidates for public office spoke directly and in person to the thousand or so men who were entitled to vote, men of maturity, substance, and responsibility, who could choose a candidate based on their personal knowledge of him. Nowadays, what we vote for is the image of the candidate shaped and projected by the media, an image designed to appeal to a majority of voters. So we might get good men in office if the media were controlled by good men. But it still would be dishonest to pretend that the masses of voters were the ones making the choices. As it is, with Jews and those beholden to Jews controlling the mass media in both Britain and the United States, we get men like Tony Blair and Bill Clinton. That's the level to which we have sunk. In the past, we could count on the old two-party shell game, when the voters couldn't stand the Democrats, or in the case of Britain, the Labor Party, any longer. They could switch to the Republicans, or the conservatives, as the case may be, for a few years until, in desperation, they were ready to try the Democrats or the Laborites again. And the Jews always stayed moderately well hidden behind the scenes. They kept a moderately low profile. I have a suspicion that they've gotten tired of having to keep their heads down. I think that they're itching to rule openly. That may account for the sudden huge increase in the number of Jews visibly involved in running the government, both in the United States and in Britain. And I believe that it also accounts for the greatly accelerated drive to silence dissent, to make any expression of politically incorrect ideas or any revelation of politically incorrect facts illegal. That's why there's a big push on by the forces of political correctness to censor the Internet, for example. That's why Blair has proposed making any questioning of the Holocaust or any unfavorable mention of Jews a crime. Believe me, the rabble will go for it. The people who voted for Clinton and those who voted for Blair will gladly sign away all their rights in return for the promise of a little more security. The problem with that is that they will sign away our rights too. So what can we do about this terribly depressing and dangerous state of affairs? The first thing we can do is understand it. Really pound into our consciousness the fact that mass democracy with millions of voters is a fraud. It is not ruled by the majority. It is ruled by the minority able to control the images of the candidates presented to the public. Let's remember that. As soon as you have more than a few thousand voters, each of whom knows the candidates personally, the concept of democracy becomes meaningless. Let's not let ourselves be fooled by all of the pretense associated with campaigns and elections. What we have today is just a variation on the old, old theme that wealth rules, except that the wealth that really counts today is that which controls the mass media. A penniless candidate can defeat a Rockefeller if the masters of the media favor the penniless candidate, if they build his image up and make it attractive to the largest faction of voters. And let's also understand who the masters of the mass media are. Let's understand that they are Jews. In many cases, they are Jews who are right out in the open in the top positions of the giant media corporations. Jews like Michael Eisner at the head of the Disney Corporation, which also owns the ABC television network. Or Gerald Levin at the head of Time Warner. Or Sumner Redstone, who owns MTV and other media as well. And of course, there are the Jews who own the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. But even in those cases, when the men at the top are not Jews, Rupert Murdoch, for example, the Jews are still there, just not in such conspicuous positions. Over the last 60 years or so, they have burrowed into the mass media at every level. The few Gentiles in the media business would be shut down immediately if they tried to buck the Jews. They could not run their businesses without the cooperation of the Jews. It may seem amazing that a tiny minority, which makes up only 2.5% of the population, could have weaseled its way into virtually total control of such a vital industry as the mass media. But the Jews knew exactly what they were doing. They understood from the beginning that control of the mass media is the key to the control of everything else in a modern society. The reason the Jews are able to blackmail countries like Switzerland and Sweden and Argentina into paying them billions of dollars today for supposed wrongs done 60 years ago is not just because the United States has a Jewish Secretary of State. It's primarily because the mass media in the United States are controlled by Jews. The Jews can go to some country and say, quote, "Give us $500 million for the property we claim to have lost during the Second World War, or we'll sick the U.S. media on you, and it'll end up costing you a lot more than $500 million. End of quote. And it works. Every week, they dream up something else that the world owes them $1 billion or $2 billion for. And they get it, because the politicians understand the power of the media. Now the Jews are even demanding that American taxpayers should pay them millions of dollars in restitution for not doing quite enough for them during the Second World War. And they'll get that too, you can be sure. So that's why we have people like Bill Clinton and Tony Blair winning elections. Let's understand that as long as the mass media are under Jewish control, we'll continue to have election results like that. We can't solve the problem by putting a different candidate forward or by organizing another party, so long as we have the bulk of the voters being told what to think by Jews in New York and Hollywood. What we must do now is talk with our people, help our people to understand the situation, help our people to find their roots again, and to find their lost manhood. We must continue speaking out. Not just me, you too. We must use every medium we can. These American Distant Voices radio broadcasts, the internet, books and magazines and leaflets, and person-to-person communication. That's what you can do. You don't have to have your own radio program to make a difference. All you have to do is have the courage to say what you think, the courage to share with other people what you know. I know that it used to be tough to speak out. As soon as you would open your mouth, the haters and the bigots would be screaming at you because you were saying something politically incorrect. And of course, there are still a lot of haters and bigots out there. But we are gaining ground on them. More and more ordinary people are just becoming fed up with political correctness. It's not just unemployed rednecks with tattoos living in mobile homes who are unhappy enough with the government to speak out these days. The unhappiness has percolated up through the socioeconomic strata all the way to the top. Today, there is a growing number of engineers and doctors, teachers and business executives, even lawyers, who have reached such a point of disgust and frustration that they're no longer willing to pretend that everything is going along just fine. They look at a piece of filth like Clinton running the country to which they pledged their allegiance when they were in school, and it makes them sick to their stomachs. They watch the controlled media playing up to him and praising him, and it makes them even sicker. They think about the sort of world their kids will have to live in when they grow up, and they're ready to fight. So don't worry about the politically correct bigots. Don't let the haters intimidate you. Stand up and speak out. Talk to your friends and neighbors. Invite a couple of them over to listen to an American Dissident Voices program. You'll be surprised at how many people will agree with you. They're all around you. Speak to them, and you will give some of them the courage also to speak out. You know, just because you see more evil men in positions of power these days, just because you see men like Clinton and Blair in high office, and you see Jews swarming around them, just because there's more filth and decay and hatred in our society, just because the bigots of political correctness are trying harder than ever to force everyone into ideological conformity, just because you see more hatred of our people and of our traditions being expressed on television, just because you see more people doing disgusting things and hear them expressing disgusting ideas, all of this does not mean that there are fewer decent people, fewer people who will agree with you if you speak up. It just means that our society is becoming more and more sharply divided. When there are more evil men in high places, when there are more foolish people who express agreement with these evil men, then there also are more normal, decent men who will notice this evil and who will turn against it inwardly. The more the Jews come out into the open and flaunt their power and make demands and are obeyed by the politicians, the more people there will be who will notice these things and disapprove of them and be silently opposed to them. The Jews make their own opposition. Evil makes its own opposition. I do not make opposition to the Jews when I speak out, but I do encourage other people to speak out. I do not make evil men become good men, but I do make at least some good men speak who otherwise would have remained silent. You know, our enemies like to say that I am divisive. They tell me that I should be silent because by speaking out I divide Americans against each other. But that is not true. It is they who have divided America by their actions and their policies. I point out their evil. I encourage others to speak. But it is the evil itself, not my words, which turns good men against it. They have divided America by destroying our homogeneity, by bringing a flood of aliens into our midst, and by forcing their evil and destructive policies on us. Now they would like for us to be silent. Now they would like to censor us. Now they would like to have new laws making it illegal for us to say what we think. Now we have evil men like Morris Deese and his Jewish friends in the Southern Poverty Law Center running around claiming that they will shut Pierce up. They claim that by speaking out, I make men hate the government. They claim that by speaking out, I cause people to commit terrorist acts against the government. But that is not true. It is the government itself which makes men hate it. And when good men hate someone like Morris Deese, it is not because I tell them that he is an evil man. They can see that for themselves. He himself proves that he is evil by what he does. The obligations that I have and that you have are not to make good men hate the government or hate Bill Clinton or hate Morris Deese. Our obligations are simply to speak out. Our obligation is not to permit them to silence us. Our obligation is to help our neighbors find the courage to speak out also. If enough good men speak out, we can shed the light of truth on the evil which is taking over our country. We can help other men see it for what it is. And by exercising our freedom to speak out now, we can make it much more difficult for those who want to take that freedom away from us. And someday, we can build a united America again. But there will not be room in our united America for the evil which has torn us apart. Thanks for being with me again today.